God is so good. We're going to be in John chapter 9 today. John chapter 9, as we continue this series on understanding spiritual reality and how it is affecting our lives. I'm trying this morning to take a good long look at each of your faces, and I'm so grateful to have this moment to care for you and to share God's love and God's truth with you. And my desire is for you to receive from God today something that I know is essential to living a life of victory instead of defeat. Instead of feeling like I'm repeating all the same patterns and cycles and frustrations of life, this sermon is what Jesus came to do. It was actually part of the very first thing he ever said. But it's part of what all of us need, and it's amazing how even as churches, we can miss the truth we're going to learn today. I do want to say before I get started that this course, both in English and in Spanish, is going to be available. I'm kind of introducing the topic today, but you can, if God speaks to your heart through today, and this is a course we ask every person at Cornerstone to take at some point because it's so important to the very center thing Jesus came to do in your life. I just want to encourage you that it is available. I gave you the website on the back of your sermon handout and on the front too. You will, I think it'll be helpful to have the handout today as well as we look at John chapter 9 and the story of Jesus' healing of blind men. In the Gospel of John, every time Jesus performs a miracle, it's a sign of something spiritual. So the whole idea, Jesus does a miracle in the physical, but it's about a spiritual reality he's trying to help everybody understand. And this passage in John 9 is very much that moment. It's a sign of a spiritual reality. So I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word. I'm going to read from ESV, John chapter 9. Just reverence this word in your heart. This is God's word speaking to us. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world," so important this next phrase, "I am the light of the world." Having said these things, Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed, and this is very important. This is the reality of what God wants to do today. He came back seeing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our spirit, our soul, our body, everything that we are is in front of you right now and asking that your light would come and help us to see the reality of what shapes our life and what keeps our life frustrated in bondage or what brings freedom. We cannot do it through human words. Let your Holy Spirit speak to each of us as I share and teach. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. We want the reality of this morning to us to see. So at the end of service, we're going to spit on each of you. Right? No, that's not what's going to happen. No. In John chapter 9, there's a man who for all of his life has not been able to see. All of his life. And can you imagine physically not being able to see all of your life, okay? Well, this man, he can't see, and it's affecting everything about his life. Just because he can't see it doesn't mean it's not affecting him, okay? He has an inability to see, and it means he doesn't have the same freedom that everybody else has. He can't just go someplace the way he feels like going. He can't go do something and see and enjoy what God has created. He doesn't have the freedom for that because he cannot see. He doesn't have victory. There's so many things that God created his body to do and his personhood to accomplish. But without seeing, he can't do things other people can do. He can't win at so much that other people are like, yeah, that's easy. And he has no future. That future is so limited because he cannot see what's around him. No matter how much everybody around tells him, it's right there. No matter how much everybody around him says, look, it's right there, just see it. It doesn't matter that people are telling him to see it. He can't see it. He doesn't have the ability to do that. What he can't see is shaping all of his life. Well, you know, it's amazing because this is a sign in the Gospel of John. It's a physical miracle to show a spiritual truth. Jesus will say later on, look, it's more than the physical that the real issue of sight is about. There are things in the spiritual that are affecting our lives, and just because we can't see them doesn't mean they're not producing these things in us. There are things that no matter, people are saying, why don't you see this? Why don't you understand this about yourself or about your family or about this? Like, can't you see it? And there's really a spiritual blindness that can come upon us, and we could be the smartest person in the world. It doesn't matter how smart you are if you can't see. There's a freedom that comes with seeing in the spiritual realms. Not just that. And I'm not talking some new age stuff. I'm saying Jesus came and said, look, given, basic reality. Here it is. But there's something in us that we need his light to see it. Because we're not going to have a freedom to love well or be successful, have some victory in our relationships, be the family person we want to be. There's not a future when we keep repeating the same patterns that spiritually aren't in place. And we don't understand, why can't I get past this in life? Jesus wants to help us see. When he said he's the light of the world, he was saying that there's a spiritual darkness that you and I, we're just born into it. And this world lives in it. And unless he teaches us, and unless we see him, we'll never see it. We can listen to all the podcasts we want, hear, study all we want. It's about seeing. And so the truth is, and I said it in our little promo video, if you can't see, you can't succeed. You know, if I don't see what's going on in my finances, I'm not going to succeed in my finances. If I can't see how that other person is truly feeling, I'm not going to succeed in that relationship. If I don't see how what I do is causing a lot of the results of my life, I'm going to be so frustrated in life. Now, we're all going to have a very practical way to remember that seeing and knowing where you're going and seeing what you're journeying through is important. And it's this weekend's not when it's going to happen, but pretty soon, all of us are going to encounter this. Right? Heaven forbid those of us who don't get up early enough to defrost the window, and what happens is we just scrape a little hole in this windshield, and then we go try to drive to work. That's not a good idea. Because what you can't see could really cause you not to succeed in getting to your destination. Right? And I want you, when it starts getting colder out, and when you gotta clear this windshield, and you're tempted to do this, I want you to remember this sermon today and say it's important that I make sure I can see everything that I'm going through. All right? Because that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants us to see what we're going through in the spiritual, not just the physical. Okay? Now, it's amazing because in this story, here are some disciples. They are with the creator of the universe. And the only thing they think about when they see someone who's not seeing is, hey, Jesus, why is this person always going to be that way? What? Why did they deserve to be like? Why doesn't anybody next to Jesus think, hey, Jesus, do you want to help this person see? Why? Nobody. They're with Jesus, all these miracles. Not one disciple takes a moment to say, hey, Jesus, can you make this man see? Instead, all the disciples take it as a given. This guy, never going to see. That's amazing. But you know what? You and I do it all the time. We're around people who are in spiritual darkness. And all we do with Jesus is talk about why that person is always going to be that way. Why don't we ever think, maybe Jesus wants to help that person see? Maybe there's a way that it's not just about, hey, tell me why they're always going to be that way. What did they do? How can we condemn them and say that it's always going to be? How should I always expect them always to be the same? Myself included. And we're with the creator of the universe. Why don't we ever ask, hey, I want to help Jesus. Can we change this? Now look, there are places in us that are blind. We got these blind spots in our lives, and we don't realize the spiritual reality of what's going on. And Jesus, as he finishes this up, you know, Jesus does not agree. He doesn't play along with the disciples. They're like, hey, Jesus, why is he always gonna be like this? And Jesus is like, who said he's always gonna be like this? I'm here. Who says he's always gonna be here? I'm here. And Jesus says at the end, he says this word at the end of this story, he says, for judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see. Jesus came to bring sight that we would understand the reality of the life we're living, and it's not all the physical, and it's not just try harder, be better, change the circumstance. There's something deeper. Last week, we talked about the spiritual reality that you are not a physical person that just happens to have a spirit. You are a spirit being who has a soul that's supposed to direct your body. And I can't rehash that today, but you should go back and listen to that online. Very important if you want to make sense of what Jesus says and the call he makes in life. You are a spiritual being. You have a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions, what you think, what you want, and how you feel, that are supposed to be there, led by the Spirit, to have your body complete the good things that God wants you to do in this world. But we know that we're in this world where there is darkness, there is an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and his whole thing is not to be seen, not to be noticed, and not to be believed in, because he lives in darkness. Jesus is light. Everything of the enemy is in darkness, not to be seen. But here's what you and I need to see clearly by Jesus in the spiritual realms, that the decisions we make decisions by our soul, okay? By our thoughts, by our will, and by our emotions. The decisions we make in our soul, and then we live them out in our body, that they create spiritual life or death that determines our future. This is very important, that we, being spirit that has a soul that can live out decisions by the body, that when we do this, we create a life that's a future that's either harder or easier to experience peace, love, right? Joy, follow Jesus, be a faithful person. There are things we're creating in the spiritual realms that were given for Jesus. Says, you don't see it, but I do, and I want to set you free. So, isn't this what Galatians 6, 7, and 8 tells us? A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You and I have the power when Jesus in Genesis 1:27 made us in his image and said, be fruitful and multiply, rule over, fill. He wasn't just talking about the physical realm. There's also a spiritual authority. We have the ability to create. And when we do that, if we don't understand that, and if we get deceived by Satan, we can create the very wrong things and then wonder why our marriage never gets any better. Our dating relationships, it's all the same. I'm just repeating the same thing. Different person, same pattern. My finances are always like this. My peace, my ability to sleep or rest or love. Why is it always like that? Because I don't realize that I reap what I sow. And I do that whether I think about it or not. So in Ephesians 6, we're told, put on the full armor of God, be thinking about and prepared for the way you're living life. Clean out the entire windshield, know where you're going and what you're looking at, right? Because you need to take your stand against the devil's schemes. Satan has a game plan that he would prefer you not know, prefer you not think about, and prefer you just ignore. okay? That is about what's affecting your life. This says that our struggles are not what we're struggling through emotionally, intellectually, physically, that it's not all about people and circumstances and practical things we can see in the physical, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. There is that image, darkness again, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Next week, I'm going to connect the spiritual reality and the spiritual agreements we make now with the spiritual relationships of the demonic and angelic. That's going to be next week, okay? But this is what the scripture says, that we have an enemy who's scheming to get you to agree with him to produce what he wants in life, okay? So here we go. This is very important. Satan's goal, his scheme, is to get you to choose sin and create spiritual agreements, that's what today is about, that will grow his plans for you, your family, and your community. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob the glory of God out of you, out of your marriage, out of your family, out of your friendships, out of the community, out of the nation. He wants to do it, and here's what's crazy. He can't do it without you. He can't do it without me. We'll unpack that a little bit more next week. Well, that's a biblical fact. He can't do it without me. I've got to agree because I'm the one who has the ability to create on this earth. And so I've got to agree with him somehow. And what he wants to do is he wants to somehow deceive me. He wants to either tempt me. Maybe he wants to traumatize me and get me so broken and turn around that I just grab the first thing that offers to not drown me. In life, he wants to accuse me and get me feel so condemned that I just throw my hands up and just embrace death because I feel like that's who I am. I don't know the scenario that God may want, that Satan may want to try to bring into your life, but he's scheming. And he's trying to do it as unseen as possible. And that's why today is so powerful. Because as we bring it to visible, and as every song, I loved our worship this morning, no other name but Jesus. Jesus at the center. No other name, no rivals, no ability. As we come to know Jesus, we can break all of those. It following Jesus, and we can understand the freedom, the victory, and the future he wants for you, for your relationships, for your family, for our communities. That's why we're here. So here's the first type of agreement that the enemy starts with. Now you'll notice this on, I just gave you a little chart. I'm not trying to over-logic this, and I'm not saying everything fits in a neat box in life, okay? This is kind of a basic breakdown of how the Bible talks about the schemes of the enemy. And, you know, I can't unpack all of it. That's why I think the class is very important for you so you can really dive in. But I just want to give you an awareness so that you can see, you can clear the windshield. And as you're trying to move forward in life, you can see and understand what you've got to get around and get through. Because this is about victory, not defeat. But here we go. So the first thing Satan schemes to do is put a foothold in your life. A foothold, it says, in your anger, I've got a situation, I have a trauma, I have a temptation. It says, don't sin. Don't take that moment and do the wrong thing with it. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. That Greek word just is the word for place. Don't give him a place to stay in your spiritual house. Okay? So here's the definition. A foothold is a place where you agree to allow sin to enter your life, very important now, in order to solve a problem or experience a pleasure. This is very important. So I've got an issue in front of me, and I've got to figure out how to solve it because I need a solution. And Satan will throw a temptation, a lie, the world's full of them, all right, and says, this is what you should choose to solve this. And then what happens? So temptation by itself, not a sin. Jesus was tempted. But what happens, I decide, you know what? To avoid that consequence, I will lie to my boss. To get the extra pay, I will fudge my time card. All right? to finally feel like I'm beautiful and attractive and someone, I will, you know, kind of in a lustful way present myself to somebody else. What I'm doing is I've got a problem and I've got a desire, and somehow Satan says this is the way to get noticed, this is the way to succeed, this is the way to move forward. You know what? I can't control life, but if I make enough money, then I'll be on top, and greed enters my life. And I think that's the solution to make my life better, to get me out of that problem. It could be I guilt people. It could be prejudice that justifies I don't need to know them or face my issues in life. I don't know what it is for you, but the whole idea is I agree with the enemy who's not coming saying, hey, by the way, this is me, all right? He's just coming through thoughts and just circumstances, and here's when it becomes a foothold. It's not that you just give yourself to reaction, and we're going to talk about the whole idea that the body, you can't complete a spirituality without your body. That's the tool that you complete what's in the spirit and the soul is your body. But once you give, the power of giving in the spiritual is so important. Once I give a sinful response, and then I believe in its results. Hey, that worked. I got out of that. I got away with that. All of a sudden, you believe that you solved it. That's a foothold that the enemy now has. And what he will do with that is he's going to use that to start a process in your life, in my life. And we all encounter this. And I want to be sure, just to say right here, as we talk about these things, I'm not talking about you by yourself trying to figure this out. I mean Jesus and his Holy Spirit are always with you and in you. And you're just asking for the Spirit to help you see as you're moving along. Because the Spirit will do this if you ask him, okay? Now, here are the results. The results are it poisons, it weakens the good in you. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And what happens is your passion, your peace, they start to decrease because that foothold is now a belief that says, I may do that again. That worked. I'm gonna keep that in the pocket in case I get another jam. I'm going to use it. And what happens is it begins to weaken your spirit. Last week we said your spirit is the source of all power and life in you. So this is very significant. Can't see it on the outside, but it's a poison starting happening. Your soul, your mind, your will and emotions, it starts to bring confusion. Why? Because now there are two versions of how to live life. I could go this way, but this seemed to work pretty good, and this was a lot easier than doing it that way, right? Now you've got confusion. Now your mental health is at risk. Because here is where, in confusion, in mind, will, and emotion, here is where you begin to experience stress and anxiety. Because now you're not sure which one's the right answer. What does the scripture say? Perfect peace will you keep in the one whose mind and heart are focused on you. All right? Once we enter into confusion through that foothold, now I'm not sure which way to go. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that relationship. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my money. Okay? That brings confusion, and that is the start of anxiety in your life. And then in the body, it creates a lust that will provide an opportunity for sin to grow. That's the beginning, this idea of a spiritual foothold. We all experience in them, and the beauty of the forgiveness of Christ, and we'll look at the end of how to really undo all those, it's actually pretty simple. We just need to be able to see that that's what's going on. Okay, number two, a stronghold. Here, I take it from the New Living Translation, said it well for the short time I have to explain it. The weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish human reasoning, so it makes sense, and false arguments that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Well, you know, I know better, or the world knows better, or all those people know better. Somehow, there's a better way to do this. So here's what a stronghold is. A stronghold, that word literally means like a fortified place, like a fort that you can't penetrate, okay? A protected area of your life that agrees that sin is the only way to solve problems and experience pleasure. So what you've done is you thought, hey, that worked. And then you start repeating using that sin and that way to handle that part of your life. And now it becomes the only way for you to live out that part of life. It's very important. And it's not magic. It's not voodoo. It's just what you're doing, you're starting to depend on this. You're giving your trust repeatedly to saying, this is how I will live this part of life. And as you do this, now it's not just a place in you, it's a protected place where the enemy has the upper hand in your life. And you can't imagine doing life differently than that way. Why? Because it works. Because it's got me this far. Okay? That's the thought behind it. So we give it by repeated trust to sin in order to succeed in the part of life. This is where the enemy has a major place of defeat for you and for I. And we all get here and we all have to break these, okay? Now, here's the results of a strong and why it's so important. Once you have a strong life, you are actually empowering evil. You're empowering the enemy's work, spiritual force, in your life. And so now you've really got a two-horse race going on that you don't want in life, okay? And there's going to be some ways in life you feel a little schizophrenic, little Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, okay? And in your soul, this is Romans 12. Now truth in me, my thoughts, my desires, emotions, now they've been conformed to sin in this world, and it's hard for me to process correctly what to do in this situation because I'm so used to doing it this way that it feels right to me, okay? That's what happens in the soul. And then in your body, this is what our world and literally our economics and most anything lives on. It creates an addiction. Now I've got to have this. Why? Because I can't succeed without this. It's got to be in my life. This is where addiction, obviously, an addiction is a stronghold, a spiritual stronghold that has affected your body, that has now, if your body doesn't know how to function without it, and your body, your soul, doesn't know how to feel okay without it. Really, really important. All right? And in this area, when we do this, part of these, so this is where addiction comes in, alcohol, drugs. I can't handle peace without it. I need this to feel peace, to get myself together, move forward. It could be as everyday-ish as overeating, or I've got to watch this in order to unwind. It can be in areas of obviously a romantic relationship and the way I choose to live out life. Like, I don't think I can have a good relationship if we don't do this and sin this way. That's a stronghold. It's like, it only works this way. That's the only way this relationship's going to work anymore. That's a stronghold. And those are places we have to relate. Maybe it's even the stronghold of isolation. It's like, I'm never going to be with those people, and it's a belief that it'll always be this way. Maybe it's a stronghold against church or something like that, or maybe it's in your family. I've always got to play the victim in order for anybody to care about what I feel, or I've got to be the controlling one, or I've got to be the bully, and you just think, family, I won't survive in this family. I won't get what I want in this family unless I do it this way. That's a stronghold. And the enemy uses that then to produce all these things. We're agreeing with him, and now we're living out what his plan is and what he's trying to do to steal, kill, and destroy. Again, we don't have to have a spirit of fear about this. We just need to clean off the windshield and recognize that's what I'm going through. That's what I'm going through, and Jesus is the one who has promised deliverance from all these. Now, we're going to talk about covenant. Now, this one is, and again, I'm not trying to be overly simplistic, like I can't tell you exactly where one begins and ends. I can give you a few biblical pointers, but covenant is where Satan wants you, okay? In Exodus 23:32, it says, do not make a covenant with them or their gods. There are no other gods except for demons. It's just you're agreeing with Satan and his forces. Now, I'm going to say a few things in this moment that are definitely going to be contrary to public opinion, okay? Pop culture. And I want you to hear that when I talk about these things, I am not talking about being against people. This is not about flesh and blood. This is about spiritual strongholds and works that God wants to use to steal people's freedom, victory, and their future. Okay, so just now, and I say that because based on what you and I have welcomed in and agreed with up to this point, I mean, you could have a strong reaction, okay? Let's just say that. So I just want you to be spiritually aware of how you're about to process what I'm about to say. And I want you to think about your soul. Is it conformed to the world's thought? You automatically jump there. Do you know why you even jump there? Okay? Do you know? Or is that just been so beaten in you that's like, oh, that's wrong. And you don't even know why. All right, I want you to hear this morning. So I'm just asking you to be careful because I'm about to mention a few hot topics that are not popular. I just want you to recognize where you're going to go with it because you want to see what Jesus wants to do. And again, it's not about people. It's not about people. We know people in every one of these categories. Okay, so here we go. All right, so covenant, and I want you to hear this, is an agreement that sin is who I am. It's no longer what I do to make this life, this part of life work. It's now, this is me. This is who I am. Okay? It's who I am, and this is going to be the source of my life. This is going to be the source. That's a covenant. Strongholds are working its way to get enough different places of strongholds in your life to say, hey, what God says, what his word says, what his church says, they don't know what they're doing. That's not who you are. This is who you are. Satan wants to work each of you, me and you included, and that's why condemnation is so important. That's who you are. You're always going to be like that. You know what? It's natural. That's like that. You're going to get that because the enemy's goal is to put you in agreement that you are not who God made you to be. Because God wants to say you're made in God's image. You're made in God's image. You were created to do good works that God decided to do before you were ever born. And Satan is desperate to take that out of you, desperate to take that out of your marriage. Oh, they never loved me. I never loved them. That's you're in covenant territory at that point. The wrong one. Okay, so I want you to hear this. When we give our identity, again, spiritual power is all about giving. All right? You multiply what you give. That's why in the financial world, you give to the Lord. And you give, not because you have to, not because there's some hoops. It's the spirituality. When you give, you multiply. Okay? I'm not trying to do like a financial, materialistic prosper. I'm just saying in the spiritual realms, what real life happens is when we give. All right? In your identity. Of course, if you give your identity, then all your relationships are going to follow because that's who they're relating to. And really, you say, this is who I am. And now I know this sounds intense, but this is the reality that Jesus taught. Okay? You got a choice. It's him or the devil. That's it. All right? Jesus said everybody who sins is a slave to sin, but if the Son sets you free, then you're going to be free indeed. So what do we need to see here? I just want you to hear this. Now, again, this is why for some people, this is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back in listening to Pastor Sean. All right? Because once you get to identity, you're like, whoa, 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 back off. Now you're messed with, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. I agree, I don't. And if I went through what you went through, I probably think what you're thinking, okay? So I'm not trying to be merciless or not have compassion. I'm just saying there's a shaping going on. And there's a spiritual agreement that is everything about your future. It's everything about your future. And I wouldn't love you if I didn't do what Jesus did, who says, I'm going to bring some light. I don't know if you're going to want to see what you're about to see, but I want you to see it because I want you to be saved. So here is obviously the issue of gender, of sexuality, right here. This is who I am. So the world says this one right here. Those people, that's who they are. Now look, again, I'm talking about spiritual strongholds and things there. I understand relationships and what that looks like, and I'm not saying condemn anybody. I'm just saying understand what's going on in the spiritual realms. Okay, this is identity now. This is especially, what the Bible shows is sex is an act of covenant in the Bible. So it's supposed to be in heterosexual marriage. It's how God created men and women to be that, and it's a bond. It multiplies love, trust, faithfulness to move forward, and that's why the enemy is so specific about this issue and about inundating our culture and our world with the opposite. That's not who you are. You know what? Could you imagine not having sex until your marriage? That's not who you are. You can't do that. It's an identity issue, okay? And we need to be aware of what the enemy is doing that. Obviously, and again, not about people, but understanding the spiritual realms, okay? So Jesus says, it's on the back of your handout, he's the only one who can set the prisoner free. So whether it's a Mormonism issue or Jehovah's Witness, whether it's another religion that claims to know the truth, I'm not saying not be gracious. I'm not saying value wisdom that the Bible reinforces that they're talking about. But what I'm saying is there's only one agreement there, and the results are not going to be good. All right? Because here's what the result of a covenant is. And I'm doing my best to say it in short ways, so please, do class and chew on a little bit more. But spirit binds you to evil. Covenant binds you to evil. All right? It says, this is who I want in my life. This is going to be the source of my life. It enthrones it. This is my ruler. This is who I'm going to be, and this is what I'm going to do. In the soul, and this is what Jesus was talking about when he always talks about the light of the world, it blinds the mind, will, and emotions. And I tell you what, we experience it in the world every day. Are you kidding me? You know, blind to the truth of what God is really saying. It doesn't feel like it's the truth. It's not what I feel like I was made and built to do. And I can tell you 1,000 reasons why I'm right. All right, that's the spiritual. Jesus said, unless I come and help you see, you can't see. All right, that's just this. And then the body, and again, it's intense, but it is the playing out of sin. It's creating slavery, and really its plan is to torture you. Can't go to sleep, can't settle down, can't take someone to appreciate for someone who they are. I just go through the list. Now again, we don't have to be intimidated by these things, but we do recognize we need a savior. We need a savior to set us free. Because Satan's ultimate goal is this. He wants to conquer your spirit, he wants to blind your soul, and he wants to enslave your body. That's his goal. So when Jesus went to the cross for us, he wasn't just doing metaphorically something for us. He was agreeing spirit, soul, and body, I will take the results of sin. I'll take the torture of sin. I'll take the inability to in any way be free. I'll take the ability to not even to get to the point, even on the cross, where I can't even see that my Father is there with me. This is what Jesus didn't do some kind of symbolic thing for you on the cross. He went spirit, soul, and body and took my place and took your place. That's what he did. And what's so amazing about this is the very first words Jesus ever utters in public are these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. To declare, right? To declare the good news. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, enslaved body. And recovery of sight for the blind. He's talking to a whole bunch of people who don't have physical eye impairments. He's talking about the soul. And to release the oppressed, the conquered spirit. This Jesus walks into this world and walks into ministry, and this is what he says at the very beginning. Why? Because he sees it in everyone. And he says, I can set you free from these things. That's Jesus. This was from the beginning. He wasn't there to just teach us to be better, do nice things, have wisdom and be smart. He was seeing at the very core of who we are and what we need. Well, remember that blind man from birth that he sees. Jesus tells him, you got to go, you got to wash. And this pool of Siloam, that is the water supply of all Jerusalem. Jesus is doing something physical to tell us something spiritual. It's like you need to leave your life of sin. You need to let the word of God wash you and be purify you. And man, you need my life-giving water. You need to be filled with the Spirit. This is what you need in life. Come on, you can see. You can see, I can see. We don't have to live tomorrow the way we're living it today. We can clear that windshield off and get through life and know what's in front of us because he has given that to us. So there's a grace for us to experience. I'm gonna try to move us to wrap it up next week. I'm gonna talk a little bit more. I want to give us right now. We can experience. We don't need to learn. We don't need to go in some class to experience freedom right now. Jesus is here right now, and here's the truth. We're in our 15 days of prayer. Remember, if you've got a foothold, you need to crucify the flesh. Okay. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. That's a choice you and I can make as we ask Jesus to help us with it today, because he's right here with us today. He's right next to us. And other people are saying, that person's never going to change. And Jesus is saying, I think I got something to say about that. I think I can help people see. He's here right now. We can make this choice. Okay? Number two, not only for a stronghold do we need to crucify the flesh in terms of we need to remove sin. We got to get those places. You know, kick them out. But we need to renounce Satan and renew our mind. Okay? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the word of God. In the wilderness, Jesus combated the lies of the enemy with the scripture. Instead of how he felt, instead of what he thought, instead of what he craved and wanted because he was hungry, he followed the word. If we want to break the enemy's back in our lives, we need to renounce Satan and we need to renew our mind. That's why we're in these 15 days of prayer. We're in the scriptures because now's the time. Like, you don't have to live another day with a stronghold. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to break that. Jesus is going to break that. But your mind, your will, and emotions are not going to know what to do with themselves. They're not going to know. Because this is how I succeeded this part of life. That's where you trust Jesus. You slow your life down. And you get around God's people and say, I'm gonna need to lean on you a little bit. Because I'm telling you, I don't know how to do this. And what is very real in the spiritual, you'll emotionally start to experience a wholeness. Your mind will begin to come clear again. You'll be able to discern what's right and wrong. You'll be able to see what's going on in relationships. And even though you feel like, Sean, I can't go to bed if I don't have this or this, the cravings, even the soul and the body, will dissipate and be broken as you just cling to Jesus. You just cling to him. Because he's like, just believe in me. Remember last week when we said, the spirit is what I live on, the soul is what I live for, and the body is what I live out. And we said in the middle of all those is your heart. Whatever you live on, live for, and live out, that's your heart. You can say whatever else you want in life, that's your heart. What you live on, what you live for, what you live out, that's your heart. Jesus said, believe in me with all your heart. Trust me. So in this area of covenant, and I want to share this because I want to be faithful to you today. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're in covenant with the enemy. That is in no way throwing shade at who you are. That's just a reality of deception. So I just want to encourage you this morning. You want to say yes to Jesus. You want to agree with him that he's life, that he's a savior. And what we want to do in any area, whether it's breaking the bonds of wrong sexual relationship, identity, whether it's different cults and all, that's okay. I'm going to use that to see how my life's going to go. Things like Santeria in the Hispanic community especially, like, you got to break that. You can't let that stay in your life, okay? If we confess with your mouth, what's that? That's my body completing the spirit-soul process. If we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, renounce the enemy, and believe in your heart what I live on, what I live for, what I live out, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus said it this way. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, say it with me, you will be free indeed. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this room, we can be forgiven. We can be set free. We can see again. So I'm going to ask if you just stand, because let's not just talk about this. Let's welcome this work into us right now. I know that God's already been speaking to you this morning. 15 days of prayer. Listen to these words. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I gotta stop thinking maybe this way, maybe that way. It'll work. All right, grieve, mourn, and wail. Like, we're not used to hearing that in church where it's like, you should do some prayer. But it's like, God, I'm grieved at where this is at. I don't want to stay there anymore. Lord, I'm sorry for the ways I've agreed with the enemy when he's my enemy, not my friend. And you want to say that, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The greatest spiritual stronghold of all is pride. It's the greatest one. And right now, your spirit is hungry for freedom, but it may be your pride that the person next to you would see you change something or admit you got a problem that'll keep you from doing it. You will not complete the process because of pride. So I just want to encourage you. I'm not asking you to do anything to show a particular person anything. I'm just saying, do not let pride keep you from freedom. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, I don't care how it looks, because I got to go home with me later on today. Whatever it, Lord, set me free. Set me free. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to say yes to your freedom today. Lord, all of us in this room, we've got footholds that the enemy tried to sneak in and get. We've got strongholds, blind spots. Everybody sees them probably but us. And Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, by the blood that was shed on the cross, that pride would not have a stronghold over us today. That we would see both for ourselves, for our children, for our families, for our community, that we were meant to be free. That we don't want to cooperate or agree with Satan ever again. We don't want to join him to complete his work. Lord, we want to join you and complete your work. We want to live in freedom, and we want to be a blessing to the people. We want to bring life. We want to sow life into every relationship we have and every person we care about. But Lord, we are trapped. Satan has conquered our spirit. He's blinded our soul. He's enslaved our bodies. And we need you to come right now and set the prisoner free. Release us from being oppressed. Give us sight again. Your Holy Spirit's been doing that this whole time. And I'm just going to ask you right now, if it's your desire, if you just recognize an area of a foothold, an area of a stronghold or a covenant, and you want to repent, and you want to believe and choose Jesus and agree with him and reject the enemy, I'm going to ask you right now before the Lord, and whatever, whether it's a foothold, a stronghold, or a covenant, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hands and let your body join in and complete a decision of your soul and of your spirit this morning. Lord, we come to you right now. We humble ourselves. We resist the enemy. We renounce his lies that life is according to what he has said, and we do not call good what he calls good. Lord, we ask for mercy. For Lord, we have been shaped and conformed, and we need a freedom and a healing. We need light to come to our soul so that we can see together. Lord, we need a miracle in our body to be freed again, dear Lord. Father, Lord, would you bring your Holy Spirit and begin to fill us afresh and anew, that we would live in the freedom that you promised, and that we would be life givers to all those around us. Forgive us, dear Lord, when we have chosen to turn a blind eye to what we knew to be true. And Lord, we lift our hands, and with our mouths, dear Lord, we praise you right now. And Lord, we declare that we are yours. And Lord, we ask you to transform us this morning. Lord, if you decide to give us light this morning, then we can see. Lord, we know it's your desire. Come and touch every one of us. Change our families. Change our marriages. Change, Lord, break addictions, dear God, and fear and anxiety and depression in the name of Jesus. We want to live in life. We want to live in life. Would you make this your own confession as we just take a moment? Stanley and Brian are just going to lead us in a moment of worship.